Welcome to our village board meeting, a regular scheduled village board meeting. It's Monday, May 23rd at 7 o'clock. I'd ask the clerk to take the roll call.
Bachner.
Here.
Hillis.
Here.
Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Brennan.
Here.
Trustee Johnson.
Here.
Trustee O'Connell. President Ducey.
Here. If I can, I'll ask that. And say the pledge.
Of the United States of America, the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. No citizen comments that came in. I assume nobody is on the board. So we'll get right to the elected official comments and announcements. Maybe we'll do it after the two recognitions since Eva Walsh is here. If that's okay. So I'll just get to our resolution number 2212, and this is in regards to honoring Mark Walsh. So this is a resolution honoring Mark Walsh and providing an honorary designation of the 1400 block of Keystone as Mark Walsh Way. And Eva's here. So if I don't mind, I'll read it, and then I'll present it to you, Eva. And then go. So it says, whereas Mark Walsh was born on February 21st, 1961 in Oak Park, and whereas Mark moved with his family to River Forest while Mark was in junior high, and whereas Mark was a longtime basketball coach of River Forest youth at St. Luke's Parish School, and whereas Mark served on the River Forest Board of Police and Fire Commissioners for over two decades until his untimely death in 2020. And whereas Mark was a dedicated and passionate public servant who tirelessly contributed to the betterment of the River Forest community. And whereas Mark passed away on February 8, 2020, whose presence has been sorely missed by all members of the River Forest community. Now, therefore, it be resolved by the President and the Board of Trustees of the Village of River Forest, Cook County, Illinois, that the Board, for its members and the citizens of the Village of River Forest, honor the community service of Mark Walsh and present this resolution to his legacy. Be it further resolved that the 1400 block of Keystone Avenue shall have a secondary designation as Mark Walsh Way. The Board of Trustees requests that the Village place an honorary street name sign at the intersection of Keystone Avenue and Greenfield Avenue, which shall reflect the Mark Walsh Way designation. By this resolution, the Board of Trustees does not intend to affect any existing or future signage that reflects the secondary designation of Keystone Avenue, with the exception of the honorary sign described in Section 2 of this resolution. This resolution shall be in full force and effect after its passage, approval, and publication in pamphlet form as provided by law. I assume, do we need a... Yeah, so... We actually need it, but we need a motion. Okay. So if I can get a motion and a second to honor Mark Walsh and provide.
Okay. I move to approve the resolution to honor recognition of Mark Walsh.
Second.
Thank you. If I can ask the clerk.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Eva, on behalf of our community and all the good work both you and Mark have done. Family. A lot of time and effort. This is what, this is yours, but you'll. Seba. All right, so we'll move on to another recognition that we have tonight, which is a Carol Zanke 90th birthday recognition. So I will read it and then we'll... Okay, so this is a resolution honoring Carol Zanke on her 90th birthday. Carol Zanke was born in Oak Park on May 28, 1932, and she met Gerald Zanke at Loyola University, and they married on May 29, 1955. And whereas in 1962, Carol and Gerald moved to 607 Thatcher in River Forest, where they continued to live. And Carol is a lifelong lover of education and served Chicago Public Schools as a substitute teacher for several decades. Carol has been involved in community member as a community member as a volunteer with the League of Women Voters and as an active parent of three boys at Lincoln Elementary School, volunteering often and serving as picture lady. And now, therefore, be it resolved by the President of the Board of Trustees of the Village of River Forest, Cook County, Illinois, that the board hereby congratulates Carol Zanke on the occasion of her birthday. And further be resolved that the board extends best wishes to Carol Zanke for her continued good health and happiness, and be it further resolved that a suitable copy of this resolution be presented to Carol Zanke in honor of her 90th birthday as a token of esteem and good wishes from the Village of River Forest and the Board of Trustees. I can get a motion a resolution.
I'd like to make a motion that we recognize Carol Zanke and her 90th birthday.
Second.
Second.
Okay. If I can ask the clerk, please.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Very good. And we will present this to Carol and her son. All right, so we'll move on with elected official comments and announcements. So we'll start with Ken.
Okay.
If you don't mind.
No problem. I just don't really have much to say. I will say that I had the pleasure of attending approximately a week and a half ago. In Hillside, the recognition of Martin Luther King. It was one that was postponed due to COVID. I was there with several elected officials, as well as Katie Brennan over here. And so we had a good time, and by all, and we had an opportunity to discuss a little bit about DEI and what it means.
I'm sorry. Thanks.
Yep, thanks for mentioning that. And Elijah was also there and sort of organized the tickets and the table for us, so I appreciate that. He was already at the table before I'd left my house. He was on it. I do have a couple things to mention, two that I'm really excited about. We have two Juneteenth events coming up in the community. The first one is River Forest's first Juneteenth flag raising, which is being held in partnership with the public library on Monday, June 13th at 11:30 a.m. And I want to thank a whole bunch of local residents and organizations for participating, starting with our own trustee Johnson, who is going to be the MC of the event. Also in the run of show are several local residents who are giving presentations. We have the Trinity students are doing a poem recitation. We have the Boy Scouts raising the flag with our own fire department. And we're still not complete with the run of show, so there may be some additional items. So 11:30 a.m., Monday, June 13th, once we get our marketing materials finished, we'll get them to you, Brian. Thanks for so much for your help on this, so that you and Kathy can send some invites out to other dignitaries. We can put it on our website and distribute it otherwise. And I wanted to just thank, in particular, the public library for partnering with us, DU's Truth, Racial Healing, Transformation Group, and their public library for helping out in various ways. Our police department helping with sound system, the Village of Forest Park's Juneteenth Committee, and our own DEI advisory group for their help in planning. That's that. And then the other Juneteenth event is the first West Villages Juneteenth Parade that many people in this room have been helping to organize. That will be held on Saturday, June 18th at 11 a.m. The entry form to participate in the parade was just hot off the press this afternoon. I gave the first one to our fire chief, who has already completed it and turned it back into me. So we are the first participant. I don't know that that gives us the first spot in the parade, but you,
yeah, it should.
Yeah, you're on the committee, so. So I'm also giving an application right now to Trustee Johnson for the DEI Advisory Group, which I understand is interested in participating also. And we still do still need volunteers to help out day of and in anticipation of. So, Erica, I left a couple of volunteer sign-up sheets at your spot. That's that.
What time is it?
11 a.m.
Oh, you said that.
And there, it will end at Proviso. It'll start on the corner of Randolph and Circle. It will go for about a mile and a half to Proviso East, and then there will be a half an hour. There'll be an expo there with some food trucks, and there'll be half an hour of presentations.
Okay, you might have said this, but it sorry, it provides a
ending.
Oh,
ending.
And I'm sorry.
Randolph and Circle.
Oh, okay.
That's where we're asking the participants to line up.
Okay.
And then the last thing I wanted to mention is that I heard a piece on local radio about Scarce, which is an entity in Addison that we've partnered with for the recycling extravaganza for years. They are dedicated to keeping things out of the landfill. And so when we had the recycling extravaganza, we would collect things like books and material and crayons, et cetera. And then we would drop them off there after we'd collected them. They are collecting things for the people of the Ukraine. And so I wanted to mention a couple of things that they are looking for and that can be dropped off at their offices. Number one, crutches, walkers, canes, wheelchairs, even IV stands. Number two, tourniquets, first aid kits, sterile bandages, slings. Number three, crayons, coloring books, new stuffed animals for the refugee kids from Ukraine and Poland. Number four, energy bars and protein bars. Number five, new lightweight sleeping bags. Scarce is partnering with Project Cure, which is based in Colorado but has a branch in Woodridge that sends medical supplies all over the world. You can go to the Scarce website. They're in Addison and coordinate drop-off at their locations. We could also sort of, between ourselves, arrange to collect things and make one big drop-off. Yeah.
John? Nothing to add, thanks.
Good evening, everyone. I want to first of all start wish everyone a terrific Memorial Day weekend that's coming up this coming weekend. I'm happy to say that it looks like the Memorial Day parade is returning to River Forest based on the last couple of years due to the pandemic. We didn't have the parade. It's going to start at 9:30 on May the 30th on Augusta and Ashland. I do believe a number of us are going to participate in the parade, so that's great. But we welcome everybody to join in and observe the holiday. In addition, I wanted to report that our age-friendly group met on May the 11th, and we reviewed the survey questions and answers. There were 60 of them. We sort of focused on the first 52. The remaining questions related to demographics, but we wanted to actually go through each of the 52 questions to rate them by either based on the responses, the number of responses we received on each of the questions, whether they were of no concern, low concern, moderate concern, or high concern. So it was a great discussion. We ended up going back, and we're going to review them as well, because now we're going to look at at least for some of the questions or responses. We're going to look at the age groups because even if some of them were either moderate or low, if they were all responded by seniors within the ages of 65 or above, we thought they would be significant to review and focus on those as well. So more to come on that. And we're going to actually start outlining as well, prepare our report for the ordinance that we that the board approved. We're supposed to provide a report to this board. So we're going to be focusing on that as well. Last but not least, Elijah and I attended the collaborative committee that's involving all of our sister organizations here in River Forest, all the school districts, the townships, the library, and of course the village. We usually review a couple of what's happening in our respective public bodies. There were some conflicts with three of our other sister public bodies, but we did the highlights, I guess, are from the school districts. Particularly, I think I reported that the high school had on May the 9th, had an open house for the first phase of their construction. They were completed. It turned out it was a positive, well-attended event. They're actually still going to look at scheduling some other opportunities for the residents to go and look at the high school. The District 90 talked about some of the issues they're working on in terms of their curriculum. D-200 shared the same. They're working on their curriculum as well, and obviously there are some parents who are raising concerns about the curriculum, so they're working that out and sharing that and working with their parents. So more to come on that, but that's pretty much my report. Thank you.
Hello, I want to build on the great news that the Memorial Day Parade is back after a two-year hiatus, and I want to thank the Kiwanis Club of River Forest and Oak Park, who took over this event from the River Forest Service Club to keep it going, working in partnership with the River Forest Park District. It kicked off at 9:30, and as always, I sat in on the River Forest Sustainability Meeting last month as liaison, and the fruits of their labor are in front of us this evening. Thank you.
Thank you. So as we begin, I'd like to start with a land acknowledgement. We are mindful that we hold these meetings on land that was once and still inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Ojibwa, the Chippewa, Menominee, Potawatomi nations, and more. We will remember our nation's history and honor the Native people as stewards of this land that was colonized, and that River Forest continues to be a place many people from diverse backgrounds live and gather. Say happy Memorial Day to everyone. Excited for the parade. I do want to just mention that in the general area, we've been having more and more COVID cases. So want everybody to just continue to be vigilant, wear your masks, use the alcohol for your hands, and do all the things that we need to do to keep our numbers low. I did participate in several meetings in the course of the past couple of weeks. One of them was the MCC, the Mayor's Caucus, and their DEI work group meeting that focused on data analytics. And I think the general feeling was that in municipalities, there is a lot of information and data that we gather, but that we don't centralize it and use it for purposes around DEI, and that to a certain extent we don't know how to. And if there's more information. And so it sounds like many municipalities are beginning to think about this and work towards how we can better use the data and integrate it, and look at software that might help with that. So I think we're probably doing some of that, and others are doing it at the same time. I attended a meeting around social media and viral misinformation, specifically in relation to anti-Asian hate. It was put on by the Chinese Canadian National Council for Social Justice, and it's just a reminder that we've used this before, words matter, and we have to be thoughtful about when we see derogatory language or language that we maybe don't even recognize as that, to think about that more carefully and be aware of the information that you're getting on social media. We had a DEI advisory group meeting last week that was focused around subcommittee work, and I'm really excited. Out of that meeting, we have now an expectation that we will have an RFP draft likely to be completed by early June, so looking forward to that. And let's see, met with the Minikin's DEI team last week as a catch-up, and just good to hear what they're working on and what how we can partner. They are focused on training inside their university, and that is a heavy lift for them at the moment. So often in terms of activities like Juneteenth, they may be putting their own Juneteenth activities on, but it is a small group in that DEI, and so they may not have the resources to do many other things that they are working within their community. I do want to also just take point of order to congratulate our eighth graders who are graduating in the next couple of weeks and going off to high school. There was one more thing that I wanted to mention. There is a inaugural American Ireland Youth Conference that's going to be occurring on May, later in May, and it is around a environmental topic in tackling climate change together. And I'm happy to say that Jelena Collins, who is a 17-year-old environmentalist at Oak Park, who founded and runs Chicago Youth Climate Coalition, is going to be a part of that panel along with some other significant and heavy hitters. So congratulations to her and all the work.
Okay. I don't have much to report other than in terms of the Memorial Day Parade, for sure. Hopefully everyone will come out. It's one of our, best, and I'm glad we're getting back to it after 2 years of hiatus, but it's certainly one event that brings all the community, all of our communities together. So, forward, and I hope all of you will be part of it as well. I haven't heard anybody that's not going to be part of it, so. Also, I've been involved with lots of communications around what we've, and I think I mentioned this last time, a cross-community climate collaborative. This is something that all of you started, and it is, C4 is designed to bring together BIPOC and non-minority communities across income lines to share ideas, secure resources, and drive large-scale projects within the and across communities that achieve an agreed-upon greenhouse gas emission reductions. Really, really excited about it. We've been working with many of the mayors here in the West Suburb, and many of the municipalities are interested in joining in the collaboration. So we are having all are invited June 1st at 10 o'clock. We'll get you the information out, Brian, please. That basically is very similar to the charter climate, being that we're all in this together to reduce emissions, greenhouse emissions, and do it in ways that we could share information. And and need to achieve equity outcomes related to in-house emissions. So it's real exciting. I'm really looking forward to it. We'll send you the example of the MOU so that you have it. First is when municipalities are getting celebrate the MOU and sign them together so that at 10 o'clock. And I'll, it's, we'll send you the here.
And you mentioned June 1st, and I apologize. I meant to put one more pitch in for the inclusion and pride flag raising and walk that's going to be happening at 6 p.m. I think the flag raising will be happening here at Village Hall, maybe around 5:45 or so, and then there's going to be a wonderful walk around Lincoln School.
Yep. Sure. Okay, that's all I have. So we'll move on to consent agenda.
Can we pull item 5C?
Get a motion to remove A, B, and D.
So move.
Second.
Any questions on those three agenda items? Hearing none, I ask the clerk to read the items out and then take the vote.
Consent agenda item A, Village Board of Trustee meeting minutes, May 9th, 2022. B, approval of the appropriation of $550,000 motor fuel tax funds 2022 maintenance agreement resolution. D, village administrator's report. Brennan?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Okay, so if I need a motion to move item 5C in the second, and then we'll discuss.
Motion to approve consent item C.
Second.
Okay. Question?
Didn't know if I was supposed to
question,
if you were supposed to read it.
No, not yet.
I pulled it for two reasons. One, because I noticed in the materials that it's listed as a sole bidder. It's the only entity that answered our request for bids. And I also saw that the cost had doubled for this item. And then the materials say there's some linkage between the two, that perhaps there's a sole bidder because fuel costs have risen. And I just wondered if you could give us a little bit more explanation, because it seems to me if fuel costs have risen, why aren't other bidders also participating but just giving us higher bids?
Sure. Fair question. So Homer's done the work for us for the last several years, and they were the sole bidder. So we did competitively bid this just as we do everything, well, most everything else. We had notified six or seven contractors before the bid was advertised, which is common practice just to let them know that it's out there. And when we only got one bid, Brian Skozik, our superintendent of operations, he reached out to five or six of them just to say what happened, why the lack of interest. Homer's pretty close relative to a lot of the other bidders, and so fuel costs don't hit them quite as much as they hit the other vendors. But this seems to be in the digging that he did. This seems to be a bit of an industry trend in terms of just general costs for this type of work starting to go up. Everything was almost double as it from what it was last year, and we contemplated rebidding it just because we thought, well, maybe there is more interest out there, and we just, for whatever reason, we missed it. But again, in talking to the other vendors that were notified that did not bid, there really wasn't anything out there that suggested there would be more competition if we rebid it. So it's something we've talked about internally more of, or more in terms of trying to change our scope of work. How can we work within our budget to get the work done, but at a lower contracted cost? So we talked about things like stumping our own trees once the Homer or whoever the next vendor would be, or trying to change the amount of trees we're doing annually, or trying to do more of it in-house. So something that's on our radar for next year's budget, but as of right now, this just seems to be the industry trend that, we're having to deal with, unfortunately.
Yeah, thanks so much for that explanation. It really helps. And then also, at the very end of your materials, there was something about we did something to fit. Nonetheless, we did something to fit it within our budget. Did we just reduce the number of trees we're going to address?
So this is kind of like curb and sidewalk in that, or patching in that. When we bid it, we're kind of we have our budgeted number, and then we estimate pricing and we go out to bid. Those don't always jive, and so we don't have a set number of trees that we absolutely have to remove this year. We just kind of have our typical annual allotment. We can certainly scope that down to maintain our budget, and that's what we plan to do. How we do that may be different. If our stump grinder is really working well and we want to do that, now we don't pay for any stump grinding in this, we can remove more trees. Maybe we can remove some of the smaller ones in-house. So we're certainly going to work, you know, around whatever we can internally to make that stay within our budget.
I do have then a kind of a follow-on question then. So of that $84,000, so of you're saying obviously we're not doing it internally. That's what we're going to do externally for these stumps. So if we wanted to do any additional ones beyond what you've out, we would do it internally? I'm trying to understand.
So what we've scoped out is really just kind of an arbitrary number. What we scope out on every year's bid is an arbitrary number that's around the number of trees that we typically remove in a given year. Because we're way under, the last year we were way under budget. So this year there's no reason to A, think that we won't still be under budget with the amount of trees that we have to remove, but also we can start to manipulate that. Maybe we don't have the contractor do any stump grinding. We do that all in-house. That's $250 a tree. Maybe instead of the 70 trees that we earmarked in the bid, maybe we really only have to remove 45 of them. If we do start creeping up, we could come back for a change order if we're in a position to say, we really need to remove these extra trees and it's over budget. We've come for change orders before, and if it's a liability issue, that's something we would come back to the board for. But we're going to do everything that we can to manipulate the amount of work that's contracted out so that we can get the trees removed that need to be removed and while remaining within the budget. So there is a lot of flexibility in this particular contract.
College, how do you come up with the allotted trees?
Kind of a rolling average of previous years, but we usually estimate conservatively on the high side. So the 70, I think we had 70 in there for this year. That's higher. That's much higher than what we ended up removing. Fairly confident that we shouldn't have too much trouble remaining within budget.
These trees that you recognize or homeowners would call you or.
A little bit of both. So our operations crew, we have several certified arborists on our operations team. They identify trees proactively that need to be removed. But then we also get occasional calls from somebody saying, you know, something doesn't look right with this tree. Can you come out and take a look? And we certainly put that.
I just want to confirm for my own information, contract work hours are 7 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Is 7 a.m.? When we start allow people to do work
for contractors like long
I think
7 a.m. to 6 p.m. during Monday through Friday, and then on Saturdays it shrinks to 8 a.m. to 5 p.m.
morning on Harlem to the like boom 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 of the road. So I thought that I would just ask.
You mean that what they're doing on Harlem?
Yeah
so
was,
they started earlier.
They started at 7.
Oh.
I was like, oh, that's early for all this reverberation.
I doubt.
Thanks.
Sure. That can be jarring work, for sure.
All right, Jeff, thanks.
Sure.
All right. Okay. I'm hearing any further comments or questions? I might ask the clerk to read it and then vote. Take the vote.
Consent agenda item C, motion to award the 2022 tree and stump removal program to Homer Tree Care, Inc. in the not to exceed amount of $84,000 and authorize the village administrator to execute the contract agreement. Johnson.
Yes.
Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Okay, we'll move on to recommendations of boards, commissions, and committees. I'm going to ask the board to approve two appointments to the DEI Advisory Group. If I can get a motion and a second, point those.
Sure, I'd like to make a motion that we appoint for the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Advisory Group, Jennifer Kelly. You want to do it individually or?
I can do them together.
Jennifer Kelly and Lainey McGinn.
Lainey McGinn.
Lainey, I'm sorry. Lainey.
Your second? All right, yep. These are the two appointments that came in we appreciate their time and energy. So, your approval on this.
Brennan?
Yes.
Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee Johnson?
Yes.
So we'll move on to new business. If I can get a motion and a second on item N9A.
I'd like to make a motion to approve an ordinance amending the River Forest Village Code regarding single-use foodware in places of eating.
Second. Okay. We were just to put everything in context on this, and then I'll let lead on this ordinance. But we've been working on this ordinance with the Sustainability Commission for a while, I guess, a couple months. It's an exciting ordinance because it's will be one of the first to actually implement outside of Chicago. I'm real proud of the effort here, we've also been contacted by probably one of the businesses, unfortunately, make the public meeting, was unable to make this evening due to a medical procedure, and they're McDonald's, who doesn't have an issue with the ordinance, but wants to get further clarification on the single-use foodware that can't be used through a drive-through. They indicate there are safety issues and other issues with the drive-through when not able to give them plastic straw. I'm not going to talk on their behalf. I'm just saying that that, however, they're not here tonight to address that. So saying all of that, I'll let Brian take the lead on what the ordinance does say. And the purpose of it.
So included in your packet is the draft ordinance that specifically, if you don't mind.
Eric Simon's here, yes. I mean, you can also talk to people. I thought I'd let Brian kind of lead it, and then I know that, you know. Okay.
Yes. Thank you. Public meeting was a few months ago. There was a discussion regarding the use of single-use foodware and a proposed ordinance to and limitations on what that Sustainability Commission took this issue up at the guidance and recommendation of Trustee Gillis and President Adusi. It was very well received. We had a number of different discussions regarding the requirements and also with regard to exceptions as to what can and can't be who it would apply to. So the requirements are that in connection with any delivery or takeout order of food or beverage, food establishment may only provide single-use foodware upon request from the customer or at a self-service station. Food establishments shall provide options for customers to affirmatively request single-use foodware when ordering food and beverages for delivery or takeout across all ordering or point-of-sale platforms. There were exceptions that were originally considered for this. The exceptions that remain in the ordinance that's before the board tonight are single-use foodware necessary to address safety concerns such as lids, drink stoppers, beverage trays, and cup sleeves for beverages served at an average temperature in excess of 170 degrees Fahrenheit. food vending machine, a single-use foodware that is prepackaged with or attached to any food or beverage product by the manufacturer prior to receipt by the food establishment, charitable food establishment, and then a mechanism to allow for a waiver by the village administrator, provided that the administrator reports in writing to the village president and board of trustees what the ordinance today. There was in the original draft as well a provision for single-use foodware provided in connection with any food or beverage order fulfilled at a drive-through facility. The May 10th meeting, there was a discussion of the Sustainability Commission that perhaps it was not onerous to remove that, and that guidance to the board for not carve that out. Correct.
Sark, you might want to address the board if you don't mind. From the, I know the commission is advisory, but I'm bringing this up as I mentioned, which is our only drive. Concerned about, I mean, they're concerned about the straws and napkins.
Yeah, and just so all the trustees are, first of all, good evening, good to see everybody. It's important that the trustees do know that, right, we took the Chicago ordinance and we did make some modifications, just like Brian said. So, and the most significant modification was to not exempt drive-throughs, and it was the commission's opinion, and there was a fair amount of actual public input during our May 10th meeting. You know, that wasn't really necessary, and we don't really have the reasoning of why Chicago carved that out, except that there's a very significant amount of drive-through in the city of Chicago. But we felt, you know, that we wanted to make this as good of a ordinance as we could, and send it to the trustees, where of course you guys will apply all the other variables that, you know, we look at this from a sustainability. Exempting drive-throughs is probably a significant amount of volume of single-use plastic, which is why it was the commission's opinion that the carve-out was not worth it. You know, we tried to measure the value versus any potential problems that the business would have. Obviously, we don't want to create anything that would take away from the business's ability to operate or increase costs or anything like that, which is why we adopted an ordinance that it does a really good job making sure to avoid issues or putting any hardships on local businesses. But we do understand that the drive-through piece is an issue. Yeah. Worthy of discussion.
McDonald's is asking essentially, like, can they just stuff in there instead of having, like, maybe some he's asked for you?
Again, I'm not representing McDonald's. I don't know. All I know is that they had asked to talk through that carve out. We asked them to be here this evening, and I was just told 2 seconds ago that.
And just to be clear, it's a opt-in ordinance, right? So yeah. What we would be asking from a establishment like McDonald's is that they don't automatically provide single-use plastics upon every order. Instead, it has to be requested by the customer.
May I make a suggestion? Because,
yep.
Again, I don't think we can speak to what McDonald's is thinking. And if there was a representative from McDonald's who has come here to talk about, I would love to hear from them the rationale, because we don't know their business. We shouldn't pretend to know their business. And I think, as Eric said, at the end of the day, we want the Riverfront Sustainability Commission put forth an ordinance that focuses on sustainability. Their job is to basically really work with the village to make it as sustainable as possible. It's up to the village, you know, administrator, the president, and VBOT to really then apply other, you know, kind of look at all the other factors. And as Eric said, we don't know why there was a carve out for the city of Chicago. I think we have to understand that in order to really make a decision that is well informed. So I don't know if it's possible to push this off until someone from McDonald's can come, but that's what I would recommend.
Yes, I'm in favor of going forward and including including drive-ins in this ordinance. There's so much waste that's automatically thrown or given to patrons at a drive-in, and often patrons at a drive-in are taking the food home where they have those utensils and napkins, or they can often have their own metal or straws, if that's what the issue is. And if they want it, they don't have it and they want it, they can ask for it. That's what the ordinance says. So I don't really see why there would be a problem.
I'm not representing McDonald's idea. I'm going to assume that it's the McDonald's, you get a Diet Coke, they give you a straw. I mean, it's a straw, or you ask whether they give you a lid and they give you a napkin. But I'm not saying, I mean, I just don't want to create, I mean, I'm not advocating one way or the other. I'm just saying that as a business drive through that turn, and I would hate to, you know, cause a business issue on the other end without knowing what their issue is.
Go ahead.
So did you look into reasoning, like, outside of Chicago drive-throughs? You know, did you do some work and research?
Well, so this is just really cute. Okay, so, I researched this via Google, trying to find out if there was information about how Chicago made that decision, and I couldn't find anything. Again, you know, there was a public comment. You know, we sent letters to local businesses. We had public comment, obviously, at our meeting. So, I mean, short answer, Trustee Bochner, is I don't know.
And it's so new. It's a fairly, you know, Erica, this is something another community's doing. we can do one of two things. We could table what, as Lisa talked about, or we could pass it as is and talk to the representatives somehow ruining their business, but okay, maybe finding a better solution to it, letting Brian do it. What?
Go ahead. No, I was going to
throw out ideas.
No, that's okay. If you ask my opinion, I would, as a courtesy to McDonald's, I would give them the opportunity to come to defer this matter. From my opinion, in the past, even when we developed the signage, I do recall there were neighbors that were complaining about the signage, and McDonald's actually met with the neighbors to try to work it out and resolve that problem. And I do recall that the residents were at least satisfied. I'm not going to say totally happy, but they were satisfied with the resolution. So as a courtesy to McDonald's, I do think that they have been a good business partner for River Forest, and we should at least give them the courtesy come and listen to what they have to say. At least that would be my opinion.
If I might just interject, the beauty of this ordinance is that it was not objected to by anyone. It was incredibly benign from a business standpoint, yet valuable from a sustainability standpoint. So, you know, just to support what Trustee Vasquez is saying, you know, we want this to do what it's intended to do, which is obviously reduce single-use plastics. But we don't want to, you know, upset local businesses, especially in the restaurant sector, which is a really tough place to live right now.
Right, exactly, Eric. And I'm glad you feel that way, because that's what our role is around this table, is to kind of balance all of that together. So the whole reason we even brought this ordinance to, you know, Lisa and I, is because it is a good thing to do for the community and for our climate. But I do want to hear from McDonald's. I personally would like to hear what their issues and why the carve-out was in Chicago.
If I may add,
I'm sure it's a volume issue. So.
There's no emergency with this, right?
No.
So that means we can defer it.
Exactly.
Okay.
I mean,
any excuse to come to another meeting is okay with me.
Sure.
Yeah. Eric, you love this.
Eric, you love seeing
it. I do.
We love seeing you.
I do.
We love seeing you.
This is how I want to spend Monday night. So.
You could call in next time.
No, there's no fun in that.
May I ask, in relation to all of that, I can't remember, are we giving restaurants and other places who would fall under this some time? Like, when we just get
to implement, okay.
and to be able to
60 days.
Thank you.
And that is actually something we added that was not in the Chicago ordinance, was a 60-day period to adjust and for us to communicate, for the village to communicate.
The Chicago ordinance.
It wasn't
immediately?
It wasn't, I guess, remember, I don't think it was addressed. It had to have something.
Okay.
But it wasn't in the ordinance language, so that's something we added at the May 10th meeting.
So if everybody's okay then with this, we could table it, ask McDonald's to come before us at a minimum, certainly have a meeting with you, Brian, and maybe Eric, if he can join the call. And, I mean, find out all the questions as to, and then, you know, based on what they say and do, I mean, it's up to us on how we want to.
And may I suggest, if we're going to defer this for the next board meeting, the Sustainability Committee also has a meeting in between?
We could ask them to do it, or we could ask.
When is your next meeting?
End of June.
Okay. So maybe it makes more sense for us to have another, I don't know how that works from a technical standpoint, to have another public input, or?
We can do that. I think it's probably best, withdraw the motion. It's probably best that we just remand it back to Brian and let him handle it.
Okay.
Okay.
That's fine.
Just, and he can deal with the commission.
Okay. Perfect.
So
I have two issues on this, as long as we're going to take another crack at it.
Yep, sure. Right.
One is the title of it. I understand reading the body of it, it's very clear, but the title of it makes it look as if this relates only to foodware in places of eating, not foodware that's coming from places of eating or provided by, you know, eating and drinking establishments. I would ask that you take another look at that, because if you're just looking at the title of it, it makes it sound as if it only relates to eat in and not take out and delivery.
Okay.
And then the second issue I have is in Section 3, there's a reference to Styrofoam, which is a brand. It's a trademarked term. And I think what the phrase we want is polystyrene foam instead of Styrofoam.
Good catch.
I did want to ask, I forgot a question that I had. Did we check with, I'm thinking like Dominican University or Concordia College, where they might serve food in the same way, and tomato or beef.
So they received our letter, and they were invited to the meeting, and.
I assume Concordia as well, Simon, right?
So, yeah, Katie brought up two good ones. I've got, you've missed there. But I think it refers to both nesting of the ordinance.
Yeah.
No? The title is misleading. I agree.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Good one. Thank you, Katie. That's all right. So, I will just have to withdraw the motion. You made the motion, Katie? Or who did?
I actually made
those. Okay. Would you agree to withdraw your motion?
I would.
Okay, thank you. You seconded,
Chris? Yes.
Okay. You're okay with that?
Yes, I am.
All right, very good.
All right, thanks for your support.
Oh, thanks, Eric. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you.
Okie dokie. That ends our regular scheduled meeting, so I need a motion to go into executive session.
I just want to confirm, is Trustee O'Connell joining us at any point?
He will once we go into executive session. And then we can, right? Do we have to do it now?
We need to do, if
is
we want to.
Is he here?
Well, that's
Dan? Yeah, because he's at a trade show. Is he? Well, we can wait till.
Well, I can make the motion, right? To include him if he's. Okay.
We gotta wait. We're gonna wait to see if Bob's not gonna show then.
that we allow him to, and then if he doesn't.
Apparently we can.
Well.
Yeah, I think we will.
Okay.
I mean.
Okay.
He'll still be.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he'd show.
Then I move to permit Village Trustee Robert O'Connell to participate in the Village Board executive session meeting via audio or video conference due to travel for work.
Second.
I second.
Okay.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Should we call?
Oh, meaning call.
No, 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 not yet.
No.
Sorry. No. We're all
called.
Okay.
He's allowed. So, if I then can get a motion
then,
to move into executive session.
I move to enter into executive session under 5 ILSC 120/2C5 to discuss the purchase or lease of real property for the use of the village, including whether a particular parcel should be acquired. Also for C6, to discuss the setting of a price for sale or lease of property owned by the village, and C2, collective negotiating matters between the public body and its employees or their representatives, and not to reconvene after the conclusion of the executive session.
I second.
Second.
Oh, okay, roll. Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee Johnson?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.